Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Kind of an awkward video, alright, because I will play a clip from an Exploring Antinatalism podcast with the guy who wrote The Population Bomb back in the 60s, and, you know, at least encouraged conversation on the subject of reducing human population, that it was a real problem, that Earth's getting too crowded, too much pollution, all of that kind of conversation, which some of it was very good in the sense that, Lake Erie isn't toxic anymore. so some things have been fixed. Clean Air Act, all that stuff did help, blah, 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 blah. But such a minor repair of the broken civilization, the elements of civilization that are crap, and that we're currently, I guess you could argue that right now the political argument is something like rich against poor, but unfortunately the poor are largely criminal, lazy, shitty people who just want to be shitty, so they're hard to defend. So it's sort of like, undoing the French Revolution, giving the world back to the managers, the controllers, and keeping the slaves in their hovels is the objective. But, letting them loose is no good either. So, especially if you're not going to give them their 50 acres and a mule, if you're not going to pay the contract, then you're just not going to create something called civilization. You can make lots of arguments about how you can have an incentive economy, not capitalism, but something where you're rewarded for your extra work and for being more productive, that you're paid based on your productivity, rather than just paid based on your ownership and your inheritance. And you get your check, from the serfs, the peasants, the renters, collect your rent checks as the landlords. All this politics is, who cares? it's so broken that everybody should agree. Fuck it. Both sides should just agree. It's just unsustainable. It's never going to work. And the population argument is just one of those arguments where, there's only two choices, right? Increasing or decreasing. And, increasing is unsustainably insane. And decreasing is, why would you ever force an increase? So why don't you just decrease until you're finished and done with the whole damn thing? But then you get into this argument about, it's not just about the human condition. And the fact is, you can't just leave a bunch of crocodiles on Earth and a bunch of horror and babies being killed, because that's what's really happening. It's a Freddy nightmare planet. Just get real. It's covered in glue traps and quicksand. And every success is so expensive. Every single golden moment holding up the, the Emmy, the gold medal, is paid for with paralyzed children and dead people. It's the fact. It's all too expensive, and there isn't anything precious enough to pay for all of that grief and pain. Endured for nothing, for no reason except impulse, notions in people's heads that's required, but no logic that explains what necessity there is, how we come to the rescue and save the day. This Superman that's very expensive to build, right? He could be the $6 trillion Superman. He's not rescuing enough things to justify the expense of his existence. It's not fixing the problem, like electric cars. It's just, everything is just so fucking broken. And I'm sort of saying, look, this whole antinatalist thing, okay, is, in my opinion, broken because, it's not really, there's no principle here. There's no, the notions in people's heads are so different. They're not really allies. I really just don't see any point in having an ally who's going to stab me in the head, at the finish line. I'm going to run the race, we're going to help each other, and right when we get to the finish line, he's going to stab me in the head. So what's the point? there's no victory in that. So I have to just say that's my honest opinion. And so as much as I really appreciate all the other anti-natalists, and yes, it's very nice that you're saying anti, and you're somehow against something anyway. Being against something is better than being for it, because there's not much to be for. So it's good you're against pregos and reckless birth and sloppy civilization. You could even say, yes, that's good, but I don't know if you have a very good definition of what sloppy is or what ugly is. So a very rational definition. And that gets to the whole argument. I mean, this whole idea of how human culture is doing something or humans themselves are doing something is as trivial as people's definition of a pretty woman. I mean, it's not a rational definition of nature that people have. They have an irrational one. They want to fuck it, so to speak. They think it's cute, okay? They don't really understand what it is, that it's a succubus, it's a fucking tapeworm, with a pretty face. So it's hard to have a rational conversation with people who are just blinded by, silly little notions of attachment and desire. Chocolate is so lovely, chocolate is so special, because it causes a couple of things to happen in their brain, not because it earned it, Anyway, so saying that, let's play a little bit of this guy who wrote the population bomb, and frankly, it's pretty disappointing. It's not what I want to be hearing from people. So I haven't played the whole thing. Maybe he reclamates, but I don't know. It doesn't sound like you can go. It doesn't sound like you can go anywhere good from this answer to a simple question. So we'll play that. So I have to increase this probably. I probably have to decrease this. So we'll see what happens, loudness wise. Yeah, good. It's not playing. Excellent.
But when the population bomb was written in 1968, the word antinatalism existed, but it was not yet used as a philosophical term to describe a moral position against procreation. So I was curious if you could tell us what your familiarity with the term antinatalism is or isn't, as it may be.
I didn't have any familiarity with it at all until Derived Energy, showed up and was sympathetic. We had sympathetic positions until I found out he was basically a nihilist and he only cared about killing people, frankly. I mean, he wanted people gone. And he had absolutely no interest in conversation about the natural conditions or saving, rescuing. It wasn't really about a rescue. It was more about the futility he saw in society or civilization, I think, than an understanding of the pointless. I can't say that. I mean, he did understand the price being paid by the ones who will suffer for the glorious victory. The people get to dance and kiss in the street at the end of the war, and there's a bunch of people who don't get to do any of that because they're killed and raped and brutalized and in all kinds of horrible manners, disabled and all that other crap, paralyzed for life. They pay the price. That was more just the end of the subject for him. And so that's sort of what drove me, in a sense, to say I just, call myself something else, because I don't like this word antinatalism anyway, because to me, natalism is more about raising kids than it is having them. So it should be anti-procreation or anti-birth or anti-creation or some other word, because this one just doesn't do it for me. I could argue that It neither got to my rational instinct to say this is the right word, nor did it get to any part of me subjectively as a human being or a male that this word was cool. It's, you know, I didn't groove with the grooviness. And so, yeah, I needed something else. Now, Ethel is not great, but that's, you know, until something better comes along, it'll have to do. I'm anti-life. I'm anti the existence of these biological robots that are just consuming themselves in insane numbers. It's just a dog eating its tail, kind of heading for the eventual rest of the body. And it just is just, it's just so expensive and it's so pointless. It's like all the death and horror created by diamond industry. I mean, it's just an insane torture of human beings for something so trivial and useless and meaningless. So anyway, we should be continuing. Let's see. Yeah, that's good enough. Okay, so here's his answer to his reaction to the word.
Well, it suffers and suffered for some of the reasons the population bomb suffered. That is antinatalism or population control.
Right. It sounds grotesque. It sounds like a negative thing. Oh, we don't like the word control. You know, we don't like anti things. You know, it's, yeah, so it's automatically going to suffer because it's opposing. Opposing things always get, always have a harder chore. So anything that's changed, it's like beating the incumbent in an election. It's always this onerous task to try to get somebody out of office who's already got a whole big support network built up. And so, yeah, it's always tough to be the minority fighting to get to a majority position. And you can make evolutionary parallels. This was a big move in evolution. You know, it was the Gould book with punctuated equilibrium and the whole idea that evolution really doesn't happen in big populations, that the evolution really takes place in little tiny populations, little inbred populations, and then they become so much better at being whatever it is they're being, a lion or a tiger or a bear or whatever, that they overcome the established population by attrition, that they're able to wipe it out a little bit at a time. And that's how you have to wipe it out, is a little bit at a time. You have to just progressively take it over, like a virus or something. You have to just start infecting it little pieces at a time. And that's how you change something. And things that are very resistant are the herd animals and different organizations of biology, where the herd is so big that an outsider can't really dent it evolutionarily, so it stays a bit behind. You know, you could argue it doesn't advance as readily. But anyway, let's continue.
And so on are complex subjects, and the population.
So they're complex, but they're also anti, and that's a negative. I don't think they're very complex, right? So the bottom line is pretty easy. You could just draw the chart of unsustainable population growth and just say, see, at some point you have to get to below 2. And if you keep feeding the poor, right, that's the population bomb was also at the time when there was lots of these famines. So half the world didn't get UN food, and, you know, we weren't feeding the world and all that kind of crap. There wasn't an infrastructure that was protecting people from starvation, so they starved all the time. And, you know, there are really graphic images of people dying for no food. So it was kind of easy to understand that, yes, that's what you're sort of doing. And the argument was made, though, is, you know, by the greedy, mostly. I mean, the people who didn't want to fix the problem, you know, they would find excuses to say, well, you know, you don't want to feed the poor because they'll have more kids with the money. But it's still a valid argument, no matter who it came from. Because it just happens to be a truth, and you have to do something about the truth. So if you don't give the food with condoms, or with some kind of book like Darwin, to explain to them that God doesn't say make 35 kids because 35 kids is unsustainable. You don't have enough property to give it to them. Half your kids are going to have to die. Why are you doing something insanely cruel by having too many kids to take care of? That's insanely cruel. I mean, but these arguments couldn't be made because they were so politically incorrect. But they were stated in little corners.
Bomb led people to think that you wanted to destroy the population.
I don't think that's what it really did. So I think it was just the basically the Malthusian recognition that population is unsustainable, that growth is unsustainable, that you have to have some trajectory where it's going to level off and everything's going to be okay, or else you really are in big trouble. And it was really related to the bomb part, which was the after the war huge increase in population, and that was the bomb exploding, so to speak, and that your resource, nothing's going to work anymore. Social Security is going to break. Everything's going to break because you have this huge increase in the number of people who are going to get old, and you're stuck with this small increase because you're reducing population of people to feed and take care of all those old people. And those are complex problems that don't have any simple solutions. And so that's where the subject ends, because it apparently is impossible to have a realistic conversation about how you have to have some mechanism in place. Everybody can't be entitled to $400,000 or $500,000 or $600,000 worth of medical care. Somebody's got to pay for it. And the people making $10 an hour can't in their whole lifetime make enough money to even pay for their death. And so that's unsustainable.
And antinatalism has led some people to think that you don't want anybody, any more children.
And it makes me think that you don't want any more biological robots torturing each other for no reason, no articulately sensible reason, because you're going to rescue something. There's a bunch of Martians in prison, and we need to go save the Martians who are in the prison and put them on Mars and give them back their homeland or whatever the rationale is. Like, you're somehow going to fix the universe's problem of, you know, not having happy Martians in it by putting Martians on Mars. Well, of course that's nonsense, and it just has to do with, again, somehow it's fuckable to people. Somehow they look at it and they get horny for it, like, because somehow it's an image that they want to see, the Rockwellian painting, you know, of the Martian sitting on his porch with Grandpa, you know, whittling a piece of stick or something, and that's going to get them all gooey. Oh, God, when you think about it, it's pathetic how disconnected from anything real, you know, people are. So, to this guy's discredit, sort of, it is kind of strange. A lot of characters come from New Jersey for some reason. So anyway, he grew up in New Jersey, not far from where I am, I suppose, and liked butterflies. And so that's sort of inspired all this crap with some, yes, he appreciated nature. Now, I also grew up appreciating nature. I grew up in Louisiana, though. And a lot of nature down there. But just saw more of the dark side of it. Lots of bugs, lots of the uglier part of nature. Lots of decomposing things, lots of maggots, lots of, yuck, bad smells, whatnot. Three-legged dogs, you know. But I also, you know, had, I can't even say I had an affinity for nature. I had some sort of, because what it really was is I despised people. I liked being alone, and I preferred the company of nature, animals, and I preferred the company of humans. I guess it's just a simple truth. And so maybe I wasn't really, maybe there was nothing about nature that was all that attractive. It's just that I disliked the alternative, frankly. The civilization, people, noisy, smelly things.
And of course, my own personal position is I have a daughter, and
so you made a mistake. Say that. You know, you weren't thinking very clearly. You know, the wrong part of you was controlling your behavior or something like that. You have a daughter on purpose? Is there going to tell me you did on purpose, or you did because she wanted it? Did you want to do that? Did you have some kind of plan ahead of time? Like, oh yeah, I'm going to make a daughter so she can die, so she can be a slave to the population bomb. I mean, what was the purpose? What was your state of mind when you did this thing?
Two genetic granddaughters.
And that's a good thing, or what? So you made more population bomblets. And you wrote a book against it, and you did it. Okay, admit you're, well, that's not very clever of me. I'm not a very good role model for the people who are supposed to find something better to do with their life than make babies and take care of them and nurture them and play with them and whatever the whole game is that you want to tell us was rewarding. I mean, this is so, you know, why not just shoot your own book in the face? I mean, you might as well just shoot your own book. Because you're basically saying, look, even me, the author of the book, can't stop from doing it.
And I think it really helps a human being to have the experience.
I mean, just, wow, you think that? But how's it help them? Especially if they die. You know, if your kid dies, is that going to help you a lot? Is that going to make your life? It's going to make your marriage for sure, right? I mean, the divorce rate among people who have sick kids is like 90%. So, obviously, it's not really great for anybody's health or happiness. You won't live long and prosper if you have dead kids. Man, Paul, I mean, just, sorry, but this is just, you know, he talks about the subject being complex and then talks kind of drivelly mush about, you know, how charming it is to, you know, raise killer robots. You know, and that's all they are. You know, you don't know what it's going to turn into. Shit. And you know, just the idea that he wrote this book and his own daughter didn't get it. She didn't get it. I go, what is there to say? I mean, it's just pathetic. It was so philosophically unpersuasive that your own daughter couldn't even say, you know, yeah, somebody's got to do something about it. I guess, you know, look, we have to learn how to live without this. Some percentage of us has to certainly learn how not to have kids and not to play this game. So why don't I show that, yes, I can do it. I can be a vegetarian. It's like somebody writing a vegetarian book and their own kid, you know, sells beef on the street. I mean, shit. Fail.
Of raising the next generation, and we certainly need to do so.
In what respect? Again, why do we need to? First off, but the fact that they need to be raised, well, let's just hire it done. You know, I mean, we're just engineering a social environment, so let's just create boy and girl town. And let's just raise all the little monsters to be at least capable of doing logic, for example. Understanding the difference between, well, where's my brain? Is my brain in my penis, or is my brain in my, you know, back here behind my head? I mean, where am I supposed to do my thinking? In my heart? Or my kneecap? You know, my big toe?
And to educate them very well.
Yes, well, that's another pile of crap, right? What is educating very well? So they know lots of math, or they know lots of this, or they know lots of that, but they know that they don't know that for every lion that makes it to maturation, 10 of the little cubs have to be murdered horribly. For every octopus, you got to kill 10,000 little baby octopuses, you know, stab them right in the eye, all that kind of crap. Is this a great bargain? You endorse the system? God, I mean, the fact that I still have to make these videos, it's just ludicrous that people keep defending this atrocious price being paid for absolute baby gooey slop. Nothing. Nothing you can articulate in any way whatsoever. We all need the joy of watching the child run down the sidewalk with its lollipop going ha 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 ha. I do? I need that? I don't think I do. I don't think I do. So you're not really persuading me that I do need this. That somehow it will enrich my life in untold ways and make everything understandable, and I'll know why all of this horror is okay. It's okay to torture people. It's okay to force people to commit suicide. It's okay to do all this crap because, look, there's a little kid running down the street with its lollipop. No, I don't get it.
But if antinatalism, as some people have interpreted it, means no more children.
It means no more biological killer robots. That's right. The very thing you're against, frankly, okay? No more capitalists, no more aristos, no more people who think the rest of the world is their servant, no more nihilists who think everybody else is an ant and disposable, no more assholes. And frankly, everything on this planet is more asshole, okay? Everything should walk up to everything showing its asshole, because everything is more asshole than it is anything else. I mean, it's all crap. Crappy ambitions, crappy motivations, crappy hormones, crap, crap, crap. It's all just a bloody vagina.
No, that's not a plan that it's a plan that...
Yeah. It's a plan that seems perfectly rational. Let's all find something else to do and let this biological infestation of hell burn itself out. Let's end the forest fire.
Society tends to be moving towards. I mean,
so that's really stupid, because it's not moving towards anything close to it. So his own book, he knows the population numbers. It's not moving towards it. In every way, the world has decided to feed the morons and comfort them in every way and do whatever they can, give them hotel rooms, give them everything they want, give them lubricant to make the babies so we can, try to educate them when they don't speak the same language and all this crap. All of this infrastructural horror, this complete anti-civilization crap. Amazing.
The Trump motto is no more children.
Such a pile of crap. Trump's motto is you're all my slave because I inherited ownership tickets. That's it. Well, I don't have to earn it. I just have to inherit it. Everybody who inherits a position should keep the position. Yes, we should decide who gets and who doesn't get in our society based on what you fucking inherit. That's the only thing that matters. Shit.
No more society, no more civilization. He's doing everything he
wants. It's just such liberal hyperspeak and nonsense. We know what they're after, okay? It's just they want to go back to whatever, 1720, okay, before the revolutions, the American and French, and they want to go back to this world where, yeah, there's clean people and the dirty, smelly people, and that's all they want to do.
Possibly can, to make sure there are no more births, but it's not a position I share.
So just such not even close to a reasonable response to a simple enough question. But clearly he doesn't see anything. He thinks there was some point in human history, I guess, where we were civilized. I don't know exactly when he thinks that was. I mean, what, 1969, maybe? We did land on the moon. We did have the appearance that we were kind of trying to do the right thing. We had Coke commercials that could make you cry. So things were looking up, okay? But it was only for, 3 years.
All right. Mati, I do believe it's your turn.
Okay, so I don't know. I haven't watched the rest of this, so I don't know. Maybe I'll play it and I can throw in my 2 cents. What the hell, right? since we're here and we've done this, so again, I cherish Amanda and her efforts, and I think it's great that people are trying to do whatever they can to get this conversation to take place. And so, yes, I suppose all of that's positive in a sense, but I'm just going to be pretty careful about saying that, I'm going to make sure I have my, I'm going to make sure I can turn my gun, okay, before somebody stabs me in the head. Because I know my allies aren't really my allies. They're allies for a few days, but they're not going to be allies tomorrow. So anyway, I'm just saying. I'm already aware of that very big problem. Well, maybe I could pause here, and then I'd be back and we'll play some of this. All right, so, till then. All right, so let's understand that there's lots of things that are, you could argue, unsustainable, or there's no plan, okay? And, you know, simple things you could argue about how we haven't designed a sustainable system, that our whole economies are based on growth, and if growth doesn't continue, then you have a huge depression or recession, you know, that just wipes out the entire structure of the economy. And there's lots of that stuff. Nanotechnology, the whole idea of automation, even automation of intelligence, is making people kind of useless in lots of respects. And so unless you hold specific keys to specific devices and you do some special thing, your value is going to be diminishing over time, because a robot will do it better for free. And almost for free. You know, the robots can build robots, you know, and it'll be the tiny, you know, expense of the materials compared to your continued expense and the risk of you becoming really expensive if you break a leg or something. Where the robots, you just throw it out, put a new one in, no problem. You just pull out its circuit board, pop a new board in, blah, 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 no problem. So there's lots of things threatening humanity, and the population is one of those things, but it's just one of them. And so a person who's against unsustainable population growth is against, it's like saying somebody who's against nanotechnology is are going to be our savior. Now, I could argue the biggest problem with nanotechnology is that it'll be easily turned into a terrorist weapon, and you know, that's the don't let it out the door, because once that technology gets out there, it's going to be so abusable that we won't be able to survive any conflict. It'll be worse than the bomb. It'll be worse than the atomic bomb in terms of a threat to anything called civilization. But anyway, let's continue and see what happens here. But yes, to me, it's a conversation with somebody who is really so distant from the real subject that it's almost, you know, not the same subject. It's clearly just not the same subject, I think.
You have been accused of being an anti-natalist, my sources say. So I have two questions about that. First, how do you plead, guilty or not guilty? And second, what do you make of such an accusation?
Well, it goes back to what I was just saying. If antinatalism, the person asking the question, means no more births.
So again, what it means is you only have two choices, too much or too little. It's almost impossible to do this just right thing. So why even have a conversation about the just right thing? You're either going to have human beings that you raise, okay, to see some real purpose in having babies, or you're not going to. And so unless you want to segregate the population again, say, well, screw all this equality I talked about and making women equal and all this crap and giving them real lives and blah, blah, blah. Let's have some segment of the population that keeps making way too many babies. And the rest of the population will be the smart people who say, I can do something better with my brain than watch a kid run down the sidewalk with a lollipop when I know they're just going to grow old, rape, kill, recklessly drive, become an alcoholic, do a bunch of shit, and then die slowly and expensively. I mean, if I can already know that's the outcome, why would I set that up in the first place? Why would an intelligent being put you in your position? I mean, frankly. How many years you think you have left having fun on Earth in any kind of, you know, not disabled fashion? Oh, whatever. You know, it's just disappointing.
Then I am against that position.
Oh, he's an anti-natalist. Okay, so great. You know, it's just, so a long way from an ally, I guess I would argue, right? Pretty long way away.
If it means regulating the number of births, so we...
Well, regulating, you know, engineering, all right? Don't use the word regulating. There's no point in saying regulate. The point is to say, look, you want to incentivize this stuff. So incentivize not having kids. Let's pay every 18-year-old a few thousand bucks even, okay? If they haven't procreated, right? If they haven't pulled the reckless, sloppy birth string, then they get the money. And if they have fucked it up, then make them pay for it, frankly. Make them lose this reward badge. You know, badges might be a good thing, you know, for kids. I mean, not the Boy Scouts. I mean, not some show-off, I'm bigger than you, I'm better than you bullshit. But just some idea that you give people reward and punishment. You just figure out nice little rewards for being a nice civilized person. So don't make some, don't violate civilization. Don't rape it in some way. And we'll give you a, you didn't rape anybody reward, you know. Because yes, the punitive stuff, it just gets expensive and ugly. So try to do it the cheap way. Little encouraging incentives for people to be not assholes. Let's have a not an asshole award.
You end up with a smaller population. That is where the children are properly cared for.
How are you going to regulate all that crap? They're going to be properly cared for being raised by lunatics who believe, you know, they're heading for snake hell, you know. Or some kind of bullshit. Some kind of, they'll throw their kid in the microwave because they think it's possessed by the demons. I mean, fuck that. What people do you think are capable of properly raising a kid? I mean, have you met all that many? I haven't met that many. I mean, I can't think of any of the people I've really known who, frankly, no way I'd want to be their baby. No chance. I mean, they're worse than drunk drivers, frankly.
And so on. And where there are enough
drunk procreators.
Births always to prevent the population from disappearing.
So just be too horrible. You know. Anyway, Jupiter's very pretty. I couldn't remember Jupiter's name the other day, but it's very pretty. Okay. No humans in the way.
But also to prevent the population from getting beyond its resources, then I'm guilty of being an anti-natalist.
So you can't even say the word, but I shouldn't find, you know. Okay. Getting old sucks. We should all be, all the old people should be able to agree on that one. But anyway, I mean, this is just, it's just so illogical to say, I have this civilization plan where we're going to get people to a point where they don't need to have kids and they can have a perfectly enriched and full life. And then as soon as we get the population to a point where we think we need them, whatever that is, now we're going to engineer people to say, gee, I do need to have kids. I do want it. I'm going to advance my life and I'm going to have a more interesting life if I create things that are going to suffer and die. Because watching things suffer and die is so much goddamn fun. I mean, we know all of this is about reckless procreation. So you know that if you fix reckless procreation, that is ignorance, then you know you're in big trouble trying to inspire this notion that somehow it's going to be good for me to have a baby. Because I'm going to know there's no chance that's going to be good for me.
So it depends really on how you define antinatalism. Well, certainly have done my best to get the birth rate down.
All right. How did you do your best? You're already in big trouble. You created the two. Now, if your granddaughters end up having two kids each, now you're way out. You know, now you're way over the one, you know, one person creating four people. You're a menace already. So what are you pretending? You're somehow part of the movement when you haven't come close to even meeting the minimum standard, saying sorry about that. Whoops, I made a mistake.
The birth rate virtually everywhere is too high.
Yes, okay. I know. I understand.
It's not even true that everywhere. So it's only too high in the ignorant population. So we already know where it all comes from. So what's this argument? Every civilized country on this planet, its native population is having less kids than sustainable. I mean, Japan is the perfect example, but there's all kinds of them. All these little European countries, okay, where they haven't imported 4 million foreigners. Their population is sustained. So, I mean, there's every evidence that the civilized world has reached that point. And the funny, ironic part is the wacky liberals want to destroy any hope of that being maintained. They want to make sure civilization turns to shit. So that's the irony. Now, obviously, there's no choice here. I mean, you can't vote for anything because they're both lunatics.
Understand that in according to Amanda and my definition of antinatalism, you are not an antinatalist. You may be a selective pronatalist, but that's another thing altogether.
Well, that's another tricky issue.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem anything tricky about it at all. He's basically saying, look, you know, I mean, he's basically endorsing some sort of eugenic thing. He wants the right people to have kids. No, instead of saying the obvious that no people are the right people.
I mean, by our definition, antinatalism does mean no births, and we'll get to a little bit about that in a bit. My next question to you would be, Paul, in The Population Bomb, you lay out 11, on the back of the book, actually, 11 statements which you can are mankind's inalienable rights. The right to eat well, the right to drink pure water, the right to breathe clean air, the right to decent, uncrowded shelter, the right to enjoy natural beauty, the right to avoid regimentation, the right to avoid pesticide poisoning.
Well, regimentation. No, that's the obligations of civilization, frankly. So you don't have a right to be an uncivilized asshole. That's not a right. You have to obey the civil rules of conduct. You can't be a mass murderer.
Poisoning, the right to freedom from thermonuclear war, the right to.
Whatever that even means, so that's just more, you know, baby talk. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
To limit families, the right to educate our children.
The right to limit families? I guess I didn't hear that right, but whatever that is. Oh, that's not a regiment.
Children, the right to have grandchildren. And
oh, gross. Whatever. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, okay? You're not going to fix the problem by not fixing the problem. So, I mean, clearly, you can go through the demographic thing and, you know, how many people enter the world and how few many people exit it before they procreate. So, you know, those ones save you. You know, you can have a little more than 2.1 kids as a couple, okay, if, okay, you're assured that there's some percentage of the population that gets killed before they procreate. And that's the irony of the population bomb, the fact that we're still increasing population when 50% at least of the civilized people don't even get married, let alone think about family life.
And my question from there is, if these rights cannot be guaranteed, do those potential people we might create have the right to not exist?
They have the right what?
No, so he didn't get the to not exist. That is, do they have the right to what? Yeah, so she did leave that. She just said what? The right to kill themselves, after they've been tortured. You know, that's not a rescue mission.
To not exist. If you can't assure those things in the lives that we might create, do those lives have the right to not exist?
Well, one of the favorite hobbies of a 300,000-year-old hominin.
Oh, this is just too silly, right? Because, you know, oh yeah, the old people, back in the old days, they lived so well. You know, you died when you were 25. what the hell? I mean, you know, I can't even imagine the bleak starkness of constantly being infested with something, constantly fettered, constantly, you know. There's that National Geographic photo, you know, the famous picture on National, you know, with the girl with the eyes. And they went back, you know, when she was 40 years old, and she looked like she was 90.
That named itself Homo sapiens, but has shown very little sign of sapience, is making up rights. And I was really playing off of that. If you were talking to a member of the NASDP, the Nazi Party in Germany, or the GOP, the Nazi Party in the United States.
Boy, is he ever deep into the rhetoric here.
I'm pretty sure they would say that there are certain kinds of people that don't have a right to exist.
There's just a fact. No, so it's a fact. I can sit here as a liberal and say I can know that inheriting it is a bullshit idea. Okay, that's nonsense. That's retarded. And because the people on the right can say, well, no child should be deprived of, you know, these certain minimums. So people who don't have $10 in the bank really shouldn't be having fucking kids. There's no way they can maintain that life without asking somebody else, you know, making their kid into a beggar, stealing somebody else's resources to take care of a problem they made, their problem. And that, you know, they can see the obvious inefficiency at minimum of that recklessness. So, you know, I'm not going to ever defend a Republican, okay? I would never say anybody should ever vote for one, but let's not deny the fact that, you know, you're just talking the same thing. You're just being as blind to the truth as anyone could be to say that there isn't a difference between somebody who's educated, takes on the responsibility, knows they're developing a human being, knows they have to teach it to do some interesting things and have some skills and takes care of the kid and nurtures the kid and gives the kid the best health care, and somebody who buys lottery tickets with the milk money. I mean, there's a fucking huge difference between those two kinds of people, and to sit there and play a game that these fucking morons who are spending their fucking food stamps on lottery tickets deserve any kind of pass is just bullshit. You're just insulting liberal ideology by making it seem like, wow, it's really stupid and retarded, isn't it? They don't have any clue of reality. That they're so politically correct and so censored by their own notions of goody-goodness that they can't recognize that that's just idiotic. That there is a difference between a reckless moron and a decent person, that there is such a thing as a decent person and a fucking asshole, that those distinctions actually do exist. Oh, fuck.
And that our right is to see to it that we don't have to share the planet with them. So I think making up rights is fundamentally silly, but I was taking advantage of a...
it's fundamentally silly. It's the entire purpose of the fucking revolutions. It's the entire purpose is to find this Jeffersonian, more ideal civilization. You know, where your rights end where somebody else's rights begin, and that you have the right to argue. You don't have the right to kill. You don't have a right to jihad. You don't have a right to inherit it. You don't have a right to cabal. You don't have a right to be a gang. You don't have a right to do all this stuff that cheats the system. So we can have some sort of system where you're born into the world and you have every opportunity and nothing cripples you before you get there, that kind of thing, that you're, you know, you have every incentive, every available carrot and as few whips as possible. That's the ideal, and that's made out of rules, and the rules are made out of the principle that you're defending something valuable, an innate or substantial or fundamental piece of functionality. The right to be, the right to get what you deserve, the right to earn something. the right to prove yourself better, the right to earn. Yeah, that's just another way of saying earn it. and not just for yourself, but for the recognition that that's the only way you make a better world, is you have to have incentive to live in a better world.
Silly hobby that the UN likes to make up rights.
So he finds problems with the UN, but he's like too liberal for the UN now. The UN isn't liberal enough. It isn't silly enough. Let's see what's going to say.
Made up a long list of development goals and so on, none of which it's doing. Anybody's doing anything to really meet.
Look, you know, as much you want to rag on it all, okay, yeah, there's lots of people making money off of this whole food resource distribution. But the fact is, if the UN didn't exist, okay, there would be a lot of starving people on this planet right now. Now, to some extent, I have to say in a draconian factual way that, yeah, we'd probably be better off if they were dead, because frankly, they're just menaces. Ignorance is a menace. It's a disease, almost, you could argue, if it's allowed to breed. If there's no mechanism to stop the stupidity, then stupidity is something you want to make a vaccine against.
They like talking about the rights and so on, and I guess that's the way we do politics, but I'm not impressed by its effectiveness.
Okay.
Why'd you put it on the back of the book? Anyway. Sorry.
But before I hand it to you, Monty,
So, when he said we have a right to clean drinking water, he's just talking satire. Who the hell thinks we really should have that right? What the hell was he doing?
That's another way of saying it, I guess, would be if we can't assure a good quality of life.
Well, if you could prove that all of your little liberal, hopey, wishy bullshit will not work, that you have some sort of crystal ball, some simulation, some computer that you trust, and the computer pops out the card that says, fuck you, this is silly, it ain't gonna work, this won't work, this is the tragedy you're heading right for, this is the brick wall you're gonna crash into. Do you still think it's a great idea to talk your little mushy politics and, you know, about how, well, yeah, it's okay to have kids as long as you don't really have them. You know, I don't know.
If nothing that we, you know, three of us would accept as an adequate, you know.
If you're going to torture people in the future, well, shouldn't you do something to stop that?
Life that we'd like to.
If we couldn't even give them a chance.
Yeah.
Then I would not be in favor of having children.
Right. So, but he is in favor because he thinks we can give him a chance because everything's going to work out just fine. The Muslims are finally going to, you know, they're all going to eat some kind of bad oyster or something, and they're all going to die, and so everything will be okay. We won't have any more of this big horrible problem of this growing pile of ignorance in the world. Somehow all of these cults and these morons will just go away and everything will be just fine and fun. We'll all be star-belly steeches, okay? And everything will be fine, because we'll get rid of this whole idea of some other-bellied moron. You know, no, that's not going to happen, and you know it. I mean, where do you think this all goes? It doesn't go anywhere. It's lowest common denominator. It's idiocracy. There is no future in it. This won't work. Blending stupid with smart gets you smart-oopid. Smart oopid won't do anything, okay? Smart oopid is even dumber than stupid. Blending the two is like blending the square and the circle. You end up with nothing. It's a fucking circle squareloid, and it doesn't do anything. You can't use it for anything.
Interestingly, the first time this came up to me was when my aunt and uncle, just around the end of the First World War, produced the baby, and they said he had been in the military in the second.
His aunt and uncle of the First World War? I don't think so, but whatever. He can't be that old.
Second World War, I'm sorry. He had been in the military in the Second World War, and they.
Oh, okay, so it was the Second World War. Oh, dear. It all gets clear to me when I think old Grandpa saying that. said something about wooden nickels and don't eat a wooden nickel. And, you know, it meant a lot to me when I was a kid. I don't know what the fuck he was talking about. Why would I eat a wooden nickel? I wouldn't eat a wooden nickel. Huh, I wonder what he was talking about. Sorry. Yeah, this is a little bit, yeah. Gee, I just can't wait to find out what this guy's aunt and uncle, the great insight they had. Wow, just can't wait.
They had debated for a long time whether or not it was a world they thought it was reasonable to enter a child into.
Well, at least they had that conversation. Brilliant. I mean, my parents admitted that if they had it to do over again, they wouldn't have done it because, yeah, it was just a bad idea. So, you know, and I don't know how many people we can get to make that admission, but they won't do it on camera, you know, because they're afraid to get stoned, I guess. I mean, there's so many cases. I mean, neighbors across the street, you know, their daughter died when she was 16 or 17. I mean, just, you know, and it was it. That was all they had. They had the one daughter. And it was just, it's such a bleak thing. Bleak, 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 bleak. I mean, untold bleakness. Why keep doing this? Why keep writing that horrible story over and over and over again? I mean, give it up already. Oh.
Ended up deciding yes, and I think since that child has now had a fairly long and successful life.
Oh, therefore it's all good. It all works out just fine. Now, if the child would have died, then I'd be telling a completely different story. Oh, no, I wouldn't be telling the story at all because it wouldn't have a happy ending. So nobody tells the stories with the sad endings. Where's the three bears story where, well, the bears all got cancer and died, and as they were dying, the father bear sat on Goldilocks and squished her guts right out of her mouth. No, they don't tell that story.
They made the right decision. But I think more people ought to be thinking about that. In other words, all this emphasis on how many babies.
Think about what? Think about, you just told a trivial story about two people. They decide to have a baby. And oh, look, it all worked out just fine. Well, he hasn't died yet, of course, so... Yeah, the most dramatic and harsh part of his existence hasn't happened yet. But yes, it's all happily ever after so far. Except for, you know, the death and the, you know, whole thing like that. But it's a really good story so far.
Babies should be shifted to how well can we take care of our babies? How well can we...
Blah, blah, blah. And what does that mean? Force them to play the piano? What is taking care of your kid even mean? Making them aware of the cruelty in the world? Making them aware of the animals being tortured? Giving them some insight into thinking every time they see a feral cat, just recognize that there's 20 dead kittens trailing behind that cat? I mean, what insight, what are you going to teach this child to say, this is a beautiful world, except nonsense, baby talk, fables, nursery rhymes, happily ever after crap that doesn't have anything to do with reality? So you're just basically saying you don't believe in being intelligent on this planet. Just be a moron, believe in the fable, have faith that everything will be just fine, even though you're going to rot and die. That's the marvelous gift your little parents give you. Rotting and dying. Thank you so fucking much. I just can't fucking wait for the rotting and the dying. Shit.
Feed and educate them and so on and give them decent lives. And from my perspective, we've been moving basically... since Ronald Reagan.
Well, you are true that Ronald Reagan was the end of any hope for civilization. Yes, okay. So in a sense, that was, I felt it. I saw it, you know. That's when the eclipse of hope happened, you know, and it just, that was, it's like, it just, the darkness came. That's the Ice Age. The world just got 15 degrees colder. I mean, it just... it was just, I remember that night, I remember the whole thing, Reagan wins, and it was just like, oh, fuck. You know, it's over. Life is going to get really shitty. And it actually did. So everything turned to shit. You know, and that's exactly what happened. I believe it was my 18th birthday, or it has to be 80, so maybe I was 20. I have to think about it for a minute. But anyway, I remember I had my car, I had my nice, my own life was going fairly well, but I was on the edge of, a severe anxiety disorder. And so it was just starting to make it impossible for me to maintain functionality. And so that, so maybe that's all, it all comes together at one point there. And that's where everything just, my life did just turn to shit. Absolute complete shit. I mean, like 4 years later, I was living under a card table in my hovel with a space heater, because I couldn't afford heat. Oh, it's just so bad.
In the United States, in a direction where lives are less valued and we put less attention into it, I was at a major university for 60 years, and it's a university that no longer does anything to educate people to what's going on in the world. All it does is develop people to become more Josh Hawleys and Ted Cruz's and so on. And
so I guess Stanford has gone right wingy, I guess, in his perception, but whatever. They're teaching gibberish as far as I can see everywhere. So everything is gibberish. You know, you get a master's in gibberish because everything, every single thing you hear anybody saying, the scientists don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Nobody's talking any sense anywhere.
It has a school of sustainability in which you're basically forbidden to mention population. That is, you can have a school of sustainability where what you're going to sustain is never specified. And
So it doesn't make much sense, right? He's complaining that the university that paid him for 40 years is somehow not politically correct. And the fact that he's employed by it isn't an indication that I guess it has some respect for his position. That is kind of ironic, frankly. I'll take a pause, and then maybe we'll do another 5 minutes, and then I'll get the hell out of here. But disappointing, I must say it. I just must. All right. He's going to say a very interesting word here. Very interesting.
Is never specified, and it's very depressing.
Yeah. Liberalism has become very depressing. They're not for anything, okay? They really have no rational plan about anything at all. I mean, nothing they talk about has anything to do with fixing anything. They've become just as corrupt in the fact that they don't support anything that doesn't have some industry, like the whole solar panels on roofs industry. They're just protecting little niches that they care about, little industries that they care about, and they're just as greedy and self-serving in terms of what they believe in. They're making money on green politics. They're just as scoundrelly as the frickin' capitalist fucking greedy pigs. And it's just so depressing. It's just as unrealistic, unscientific, illogical. It's just such gobbledygook bullshit propaganda.
But our universities have failed us. They did a great job.
I'd say the professors have failed us.
Early on, the original education system.
The original one. Yeah, what? Where is that? The original one was read out of the Bible.
Was designed, the public education system, when we began moving into industrial production. That is when it was no longer cottage industries supplying goods. And you had to have workers who could tell time so they could show up.
I mean, this is all such nonsense in the sense that there's so much available information, right? And so that's where I mean, I got educated by Channel 13 in a way, right? Nova and different shows and different things. You could watch surgeries on cable TV, you know, made so much stuff accessible. It was so interesting in the beginning. So many interesting things were being done, but they couldn't make enough money to sustain them, even though they were incredibly interesting. I mean, to think that way back, you know, back in the 80s, you could find a cable channel and watch a heart surgery. You can't even do that on the internet now, you know, as easily. It's all gotten dirtier rather than cleaner in terms of the amount of information that was available in a form that was processed and well-developed. And so, yeah, there's a ton of information on the internet now, but so much of it is just noise. People just recycling other people's crap, just reformatting it, redoing this, redoing, you know, and it's all sloppy and messy and disgusting and ugly and nutty, frankly. So you have to weed through all this trivia to find any kernels of good science, even. You know, all this crap made for six-year-olds. It's all blended together, and it's a nonsense. You know, the super highway doesn't have directional arrows. So there is no super highway because it's always a traffic jam.
Put the plan at the right time and do simple mathematics when they were designing things and so on and working with blueprints. And so the system was developed.
So this is just some old guy talking about the good old days, right? And I'm guilty of it sometimes too. I mean, I think they were better days than now, that's for sure. You know, but again, there's so many opportunities made available by the technology and so much that can be done that couldn't be done back then, that you still have to say there's huge potential in existing now that didn't exist back then. So, I mean, as an outsider, you had no hope, really. I mean, I used to send out a newsletter randomly, and it was expensive and didn't work. You can't target a population. You couldn't do anything, you know. So it was just really difficult to spread a message, to organize people, where now it is easier. But unfortunately, the people you're going to organize are all lunatics. So it doesn't do you much good. You get an army of crackpots who are all going to, like I said, they're just as likely to shoot you in the back of the head as they are to shoot the enemy.
To supply the wage slaves for that system, not the offspring of the people who run places like Stanford University, but the wage slaves who are going to work in the factories and show up on time.
Yeah, well, none of that's going to happen, right? Because the factories are going to have less and less people working for a laborer's wage. And all they're going to want are people, you know, who have 2 years or 4 years experience pushing the buttons on the computer.
And so on. And the system's still designed to do that, not to produce people who will be sensible, knowledgeable.
Yeah, well, you can't have any of that without that rule against morons breeding. So again, you just keep pretending this isn't a real problem, that raising kids irresponsibly is insanely expensive. The society has to pay so much more for that kid's existence, and that makes it impossible to have resources to provide more incentives to create better human beings, because all you're trying to do is prevent mass murderers. You're spending so much money to stop mass murdering that you don't have any money to create people who pet cats or something, you know, good people. You're doing so much work to fight bad people that there's no money to encourage good people. You spent so much on the whip that you got no money for the fucking carrots.
Ethical people for a world that has changed totally since the days of the Industrial Revolution.
Thank you for your insight into that, Paul. Mattia,
jump cut.
Do you believe you're next?
Yes. Yes, those are admirable ideas, and I have found a personal way of getting around that problem. I am a philosopher, and I teach at the School of Business, and I'm supposed to be teaching business ethics, and instead I preach them about the wrongness of the Sustainable Development Goals system and how that doesn't change anything in the world. But anyway.
So, you know, he's cheating his own university. Yeah, they're paying me to do one thing and I do this other thing, but they're too stupid to figure that out.
Now I have a philosophical question because I'm a philosopher.
I'm a philosopher, whatever. Yeah, a lot of people are artists, a lot of people are a lot of things they say they are. But yes, you have lots of books. I'll give you that.
You have for a long time advocated the reduction of birth rates and controlling population growth. That's what you have done. But why? Can you tell us, the audience, why? Do you have a...
Okay, so this is really going to be uninteresting, right? I mean, unsustainability, the fact that you have to destroy the physical resources of the planet... Okay, you don't have a place to dump all the garbage. You don't have a place to put all the sewage. You don't have a money to treat it all. Just the basic things. All this, the necessities of infrastructure start falling apart when you pile way too many people in way too small an area. So we know how all of that degrade happens, and we know that you have to have a very well-engineered system to make any of that work, or it has a lot of ugliness and smells, and you know, quality of life degrades. You know, go to South America, right? I mean, just some pictures from like Rio or something, you know, where everybody's, you know, tying their own, you know, creating their own electrical systems, and you know, everybody's just running wires everywhere, you know, so you can't even walk down the street without the threat of being electrocuted. You know, that kind of stuff. And as soon as a hurricane or something shows up, it all falls into tiny little pieces. And, you know, people have to live months without electricity. And, I mean, it's just too disgusting to even talk about. But anyway, okay, so. Shit. So, you know, whatever. So, it's better, more information, better. So, the fact that you hear what people have to say, it's at least... interesting. I didn't know that the guy who basically wrote the population bomb would end up being kind of mushy, you know, and illogical, but okay, that's how it turns out, unfortunately. So, you know. But yeah, so whatever. I'm just going to continue doing what I can do to make it understood that the more important subject is recognizing that we're just psychologies mostly, and the fact that we can do some thinking and scheming is really excellent, but we have to scheme about what is the best agenda, what's the best use of this biological organism. We all have to ask the question, how can I improve the world, not how can I exploit the world? So, and the biggest improvement you can make is, yes, figuring out a way to passively and progressively and gracefully exit. Because there isn't a game to play here that is bound by anything called reason or purpose or accomplishment or function. Existence of biological robots does not cure the universe's cancer. It doesn't even put a filling in its tooth. It doesn't fix anything. It just creates the opportunity to torture the robots. Okay. So, till the next time, and such, and so forth, and whatnot. Yeah.